Becca, do you want to clean that matches your vibe?
Sure.
Are you tired of meh smelling cleaning products?
Totally.
Well, then clean confidently with coconut scented Clorox Scentiva. Its powerful clean and refreshing scents transform every room in your home into a coastal getaway.
Because it smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like inspiration.
Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store. Also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
Tanya, I have great news.
Yes?
With all of your wedding activities on the horizon, I thought you'd be excited to find out the sale you wait for is finally here. Macy's Friends and Family Sale.
Yes! What perfect timing.
You can get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale, like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more.
This is incredible. I need to plan for my bachelorette party, bridal shower, rehearsal dinner. I mean, so now I know exactly where to look.
Exactly. And you can get 15% off beauty, makeup, and more, plus free shipping when you spend $25.
Amazing. Macy's Friends and Family Sale is April 25th through May 5th. Shop at Macy's.com and in-store.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the
21
script.
Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need two or three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Scrubbing in with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in. It's another Monday that I get to stare into Tanya's beautiful face.
Oh, wow.
But first, need to wish a happy birthday to the man, the myth, the legend, our heart and soul of the podcast, Mark Molinsky.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know if I've ever said your name out loud.
It's Molnitsky.
Oh.
That's right.
It is Molnitsky.
Yeah.
Well, you're marked to us and in our
Thank
hearts.
You. That's very sweet of you, Becca. That's very nice and a lot of love from the Scrubbing In Facebook group today. It's all very sweet. And a shout out to Gianna Fusco, who also has a birthday today.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes, that's true. Scrubber. Happy birthday, Mark. Truly, you are. I texted him last night at like 9 because I like I'm cheesy like that. I'm like, it's midnight somewhere.
Oh,
oh
God.
So, like, I just wanted to say happy birthday and that you always, like, through, because now I realize I've known you for almost 10 years.
Well, right, because I'm 49 today, and yeah. Tanya was there for my 40th birthday at Seacrest, and she put up signs all over saying happy 30th birthday, Mark, as kind of a joke we had or something. And I remember Ryan going, you're 30? And I was like, no, I'm 40. And he's like, yeah, that's a bit more like it.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
But I was like, this whole time you've kept my faith in men alive just because, like, you've always been this, like, I don't know what the word, like, this, like, statue, this pillar of just, like, you love your wife, you love your family, you're a good man, like, and I've dated quite the opposite. And so I've always had you in, like, a daily capacity to show me that, and in LA, you know, like in this industry. So it's been really nice.
Well, that's very sweet, Tanya. Thank you. And I have a story about how Tanya thinks I'm super, super old.
Oh, wait, why?
We were in the JFK airport. It was me and Tanya and Patty Rodriguez. And we were walking through the airport, and I made a comment. I said, this was earlier this year, we went out to New York for Ryan's Hall of Fame induction.
All right.
I said, wait a second. We landed at gate 42. We left L.A. from gate 42. And now we're leaving New York again from gate 42. That's three straight flights that all left from gate 42. And Tanya says, and aren't you 42? And I said, no, I'm 48. And she said, holy sh balls.
No, but that was more of a compliment. That's not about how you take that, because she was basically saying
that's not how I took it.
No, I think it was more like, wow, I thought you were 42. That's 6 years younger than you actually are. That's shocking.
Thank you. I was just like, I guess I forgot. I mean, time flies, you know?
Time does fly. That is true. But I took it as, holy crap, that's old.
In her brain, she was like, 2 years ago, I decorated for your 30th birthday. The math doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up.
Well, happy birthday, Mark. We love
Thank you very
and
much.
We
happy
so
birthday.
Appreciate you on this podcast. And I know
I
our
love
scrubbers
you all as well.
Feel the same way. So,
true.
Not Easton, but everyone else.
I actually can't stand you, Mark. I really do.
No, Easton and I have a long-standing feud. Yeah.
There's this very intense tension. I know y'all don't feel it because they're good actors, but woof. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, wait. Okay. I actually wanted to tell you guys about this because I saw it yesterday. I went to the beach for the first time during this quarantine, which is like beyond
Sad,
me.
Really?
I know. Like, why have I? But I guess I realized they were shut down for a while.
Yeah, but they've been, yeah, I mean, I've been multiple times.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's my bad. Like, truly, I just don't know why I haven't gone to the beach, because it was really quite refreshing, mm-hmm, because we're out in the open. People were, you know, respected. Like, we had like a nice little bubble around us. But we were there and we saw this couple that were like social distancing on this big blanket together. And so, you know, like me, I'm like the town snoop. And I was just like, what do you think is going on over there? Because they were like social distanced. The guy had a mask on for a while, but they were clearly there together. So we were like really trying to hypothesize like what was going on. And then we came down to the conclusion that it was a first date.
Oh.
And they wanted to meet like at a beach where it was like open and they could social distance. And yeah. I thought, I was like, what a great idea to like do this on a first date, because people are on dating apps and they don't know what to do because they don't want to like stop the pursuit, but they also feel like they don't want to like go to a restaurant and you can't really do what you've been normally doing, mm-hmm, while you date. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a really great idea. And I know a lot of scrubbers are like trying to do the dating apps, but, like, don't know how to do it. And I feel like that's a really great way.
What if you're in the Midwest and you don't have the access to a beach?
A park perhaps?
Yeah, but it's really hot. You know, like, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, it's so hot, right? Even in LA, it's really hot. I don't even know what it's like in the South. I can't even imagine. But it's hot, so you don't really want to meet someone while you're just, like, drenched with, like, a sweat stash, you know?
Red Star was like, I don't know if people would be down to, like, meet for the first time in a bathing suit.
Well, that too, but you could also...
For a cover-up.
I had a horrible Tinder date on a beach one day. I don't remember why it was so bad, but it was not great. Like, it was a one and done, and then I went on The Bachelor. It was like,
I can't remember why it was so bad.
We just had nothing in common, so, like, the conversation was so obviously forced from both of us, and then he was, like, body surfing, and we'll get to this in a second. I'm not a strong swimmer, so, like, rough water, I'm not gonna thrive or, like, be able to show off my just skills.
Athletic abilities.
Yes. Uh-huh. And so he wanted to body surf in the waves, and so I tried, and a wave hit me, my top, like, can't, you know, it was just, like, nothing about it was, like, cute. The whole date, on my part, I felt like. Uh-huh. I never heard from him. He never heard from me. It was just, we understood the mutual uninterest.
I'm
disinterest.
I'm trying to think of creative ways to, like, help people continue their pursuit, because I'm trying to, like, put myself, no, I'm serious, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of, like, if I were single right now, I feel like I would find a way to still be dating.
Okay, but here's the thing, when I started my relationship, we were long distance, and we started pretty much on FaceTime and phone calls. Like, we hung out a few times before, but the beginning of the relationship was mostly over FaceTime, and it helped us. There were a lot of fights because, and, like, tiffs and arguments because we wanted to be together and we couldn't, but we learned so much about each other. So I know it's easier said than done, but, like, I would take advantage of having to do a lot virtually. And then, you know, when you meet up, you quickly know if the chemistry that was happening virtually is there in person too.
But I also think it's a little different right now because it's like, we don't know when this is ending. Do you know what I mean?
It's dark. Like, listen. We in LA, we have, I think the order
gone all, backwards.
We're not going forwards. We have shut down again, right?
We have regressed. Is it regressed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As of today, we are pretty much shut down. We are re-shut down, I think. Restaurants, barbershops. You had a little
indoors,
window, and they're gone.
Everything that's indoors. So if
indoor
if they
services,
can do it
yes.
Outdoors, I think it's okay.
I went to the this is the first time a couple weeks ago I went to Target. That was my first actual outing that I went into the general public. Uh-huh. I was so uncomfortable and ready to get out and get home. Like, I hated it. And there were people wearing masks, like, under their chin and, like, with their nose out. And I'm like, ugh. And a lot of grocery stores have been really on top of it, like, letting a certain amount in. But I went to Target, and it's kind of like just everyone's going in and out. And so I was really stressed out and anxious to get home. And then that was like 3 weeks ago. And then last week I went and got my hair done in the salon because they opened.
Oh, you did?
And it was like a whole thing. It was like you walk in, they have like a Ring doorbell so they can see who it is. They come down. First of all, you have to confirm like that you haven't had any symptoms, all this stuff. They take your temperature.
Right.
They wait till like your stylist is ready so that there's no one else in the seat. You go up. I had to wear a mask. That was the longest I've worn a mask. And I'll be honest, was it the most comfortable? No, it was hot. The blow dryer made it hot, but like I did it and everyone can, you know, most people can do it. But yeah, that was my first time being, it's just weird. It's like not a natural setting.
Oh, and I like personally, when I see people walk by me with their mask, like around their chin, I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, at that point it's like, why?
Well, be fair, when I go on my runs, if I'm around people, like if I'm going to run by people, I'll pull my mask up over my nose and my face. But if I'm just running around and I'm by myself, I'll pull it under my chin.
Oh, so you have one on?
Yeah.
I see people running with them fully on.
I keep seeing is people go into like a restaurant or something to order something. They walk in with the mask on, then they walk up to the counter and pull it down to order so they can hear you.
Right. I'm like, it's like,
my man, that's the one time you need it.
Yeah. I just like, it's so wild. Like, I feel like it's just, and I truly believe, like, I feel like, and I see it more like in my like circle of friends, people are starting to crack, like fully crack.
Like mentally?
Yeah. Because I think in the beginning, I had a really tough time. And then I think I've kind of found my groove and I've been okay. I mean, there are times where I get a little bit dark and then I can pull myself out. But I feel like my friends who were okay in the beginning are now starting to like really, really, really have a hard time. And it's not good.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes. 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
2 sisters and 1 friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. Becca, let's talk about one of our goals for 2024, shopping sustainably.
Yes. And you know what's been amazing? Being able to shop sustainably at Macy's.
Agreed. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference.
It's so refreshing. I've been loving exploring their selection from brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more.
Plus, here's something really special. Macy's is not just talking the talk, they're walking the walk. Did you know that they're bringing more parks to more people by supporting the Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards project?
It's incredible. They're transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces, making sure our communities are healthy and livable for generations to come.
And here's where we can all make a difference. You can join Macy's in this incredible effort by donating online or in store and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
Every little bit counts, and together we can create a greener, more sustainable future.
So head over to Macy's.com/purpose to learn more and make your contribution today.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
So wait, are they closing down restaurants that have outdoor seating?
No, I think outdoor is okay.
Okay, yeah. That's good. It's such a tough situation because, you know, I want these businesses to thrive and have success and still be able to run and operate and these people to have jobs. But, you know, also making sure that we're going, like, participating to get things back to normal.
Gyms are closing again, Tanya.
I have an announcement to make, everybody.
Oh, what?
After weeks and weeks of walking to my gym and wanting to go in and not being able to do it, I finally quit the gym.
Oh. How was it? How did it feel?
I was like Ross Geller. Like, I couldn't do it. Like, I would call and then I'd be
Chandler,
like, oh,
right?
Okay. Or was it Chandler? I thought it was Ross. Maybe it was both of them.
Yeah.
But I, like, could not do it. Like, I would call to quit it, and then I would end up being like, so, like, can we bring a friend still with the same pot? Like, I just couldn't do it for some reason. And then finally I did it, and I had to walk in and, like, sign a piece of paper, and you have to say, like, why you're quitting. And I just wrote, like, Corona.
It's hard to argue that one.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, but I paid for Orange Theory for however long because I was supposed to go in and quit in person, and I felt shame.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard. And I also feel bad because my gym isn't like a big nationwide. Mm-hmm. It's a small community gym. So I'm like, it's a small business. I don't want to, like, you know, I want to help them, but I'm also not using it. So I'm like, what am
right.
I doing?
I know. Yeah. I sold my Peloton to Allie.
Oh, those are like gold right now.
Yeah,
listen, I thought the same thing, Mark. I was like, this is perfect. I'm going to use this because gyms aren't going to be open and this is going to be my outlet. And then it just sat there forever. And Allie came over one day and was like, do you use this? And I was like, no. And she goes, can I buy it from you? And so we negotiated a price. I was like, cool. That helps me more because
you're not using it.
I'm not using it. And I'm actually paying for personal training workouts every week. So I'm just putting that money towards that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's hard to really find, like, the hope right now because now we're, like, going back to phase one or whatever, but it's fine. I feel like as long as I have the beach option, able to go outside and go on walks. Haley's friend had a pool that she let us use this weekend, and it was,
I saw that. That's a game changer.
All I've wanted was a pool.
I need a pool.
Which I know sounds dumb because we have the beach and we're so lucky, but all I wanted was to be in, like, the backyard, jump into a cold pool, lay out in a floaty.
Oh, yeah.
A pool is different. The beach is crowded. There's people. There's parking. There's a lot of interaction at the beach. A pool is ideal if you can figure it out. We got We're one of those people, like millions across America, apparently, who have bought an above ground for the backyard just to have something for their kids to do all summer. Got that all set up back there, and it's been great.
That's so nice. You're so lucky to have a backyard.
Yeah, agreed.
Not for real.
Seriously.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's so different. And I know, it was yesterday. I had one of those days I haven't had in a really long time where I was like, I just don't want it to end because it was such a great day, you know?
Oh,
like,
right.
Laid by the pool, played games. It was just great. Ate a lot of food. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I'm on the upswing, too, in terms of things. So I feel like, and I didn't see these messages in the Facebook group. Becca told me about these, but about how we've been kind of cryptic lately. And so for me, you guys know, like, I'm an open book, and it's actually harder for me not to share things. Like,
it is hard. It's hard. It's hard for me too. It's harder not to share, but I'm sure even more so for you.
And
I'm
don't like it. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I like, you know what I mean? Like,
Tanya shares everything. She was going on a long diatribe about her period cramps right before we started the show today.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, but, let's get back to that because, yeah, okay. Let's get back to that. But it's like, it's so funny because I was talking to Danielle about it a few weeks ago, and she was like, this was before we had all the questions from the scrubbers, and they're asking a lot about you and Red Star. Are you guys okay? Do you want to talk about it? And I was like, I'm in kind of a weird place with it right now. But I was like, I don't feel pressure to share or not to share because it's like, I like to share. Do you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. It's like because of the situation, the circumstance. So I want to tell you guys, I said I love you to Red Star. I said it when I felt like the world was ending. Like, I literally, like, felt like
things were... This is the only chance?
No. I was like, I just really felt like the world was ending. Like, I'm like, this corona thing's taking over. Like, I knew some people that have died from it. The civil rights movement was everything just was, like, piling up. And I was just like, why am I holding this in? You know, this feeling, like, why am I waiting? So I just said it, and I even said too, so he is divorced with children. So he's coming at this relationship from a very different perspective than I am. I have not been in a relationship in almost a decade. Mm-hmm. So it's just like we are at just two very different stages in our lives. And so I wasn't expecting him to say it back, but after a while, like, he didn't say it back in the moment. He still hasn't said it.
Hold on. What was the moment? Tell us about the moment you said it and his reaction. Set the scene.
So we were having dinner, and I just, like, got overwhelmed with, like, emotion. Like, just because I really, like, when I say I felt like the world was ending, like, I was having I think everybody could kind of tell. There was, like, a two-week period where I was just not myself. I was mm-hmm. just feeling really down about everything, and, like, I just wasn't seeing hope, and just, mm-hmm. you know, it was like kind of a dark moment. And I was like just overwhelmed with emotion because, like, our relationship's so strong, and, like, everything between us was so good. You know what I mean? But then you question it because you're like, we've been in quarantine. So mm-hmm. like, I just was questioning everything. But I just got overwhelmed with, like, emotion, and I just said it. I was like, what did I say? I wish I could remember exactly.
I'm falling in love with you, or did you say
no,
I'm
I
in
said,
love with you?
No, I said, I'm in love with you.
So you said, I'm in love, not I love you, but I'm in love with
yes,
you.
Yes, I said, I'm in love with you.
Did you build up to it? Like, look, there's really something that's been on my mind, and I may regret saying this.
No, I did. I said, I've had something that I wanted to share with you for a while, but I was waiting for a different time. Like, I was waiting for, like, corona to be over. Like, do you know what I mean? I was just, like, waiting for, like, a lighter time. Mm-hmm. And then I think I just realized, like, when's that gonna happen? Yeah. And, like, kind of just, like, what am I waiting for, you know? And, like, I'm a modern woman. I can say I love you without hearing it back. And I knew I knew I wasn't gonna get it back at the time I said it, if that makes sense.
So why'd you know that?
Yeah.
Because of everything that's going on in his life.
Which we can now talk about?
I mean, we can't. I don't really want to go into, like, details.
Well, yeah,
but
that, like, he's divorced. He's coming at this relationship being like
with a huge guard up and very, very cautious. Mm-hmm. And it's almost probably better because I am the antithesis of that. You know, like, I think we all know. I just jump and I free fall. And
really good
parachute
at skydiving.
On the way down.
Yeah. Now I have my parachute. Before, I didn't have a parachute. So no, but I think like I've just kind of been in this weird phase with it where I was like, I don't know if I want to share. I don't know, because I've been like not sharing so much, but there you have it.
Okay, but you just breezed past a major revelation there.
His reaction.
But wait, Becca just said this, and he is divorced. That's
correct.
Something we can say. Okay, got it.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's a big revelation.
Yes, yes.
And divorced recently.
Correct.
Okay.
But it's just like, it's weird because I feel like everything that we've encountered in our relationship so far is just like, obviously something that neither one of us has encountered before. So it's like we're both navigating something we've never navigated before. Our feelings are obviously very, very strong for each other. Mm-hmm. And it's like so good, but also so strange and under like even stranger circumstances because of the pandemic and things like that. So
right.
It's just like, it's been like a whole like cuckoo bird in my head, if that makes sense. And every day is like a different, I feel differently about it. You know what I mean?
I have so many cuckoo birds in my head right now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
They're like, just keep like, what's it called? Having babies and they keep hatching. wait, when you said it, was there like a look on his face?
Oh, yeah. And like, here's the thing. Like, he doesn't have to say it to me. Like, I know he feels the same way. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I know he does. And like, it's in that look. It's in that like, it's there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, I want him to do it on his own time. Like,
right.
I did it on my own time and I want him to do it on his own time.
But what did he say? How do you respond to that without those words back? How do you respond to that? That's a tough one. It's a big matzo ball hanging out there.
Yeah,
thank you.
Could you imagine?
People say thank you all the time, and what do you say?
Well, I think just because of the circumstance, it was easy for him to be like, first of all, he already knew because he, did I tell you guys how we heard that bit on the air?
Wait, he did hear it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, in the car.
Yeah.
You were in there with him.
Yes. Yeah. So he kind of made like a joke afterwards. He was like, and also like, I obviously heard you on the radio. And I was like, I thought you covered that one up. And I was like, damn. But his reaction was like, you know when like you wish you, like you say things and then you kind of black out?
Yeah, especially that.
Especially that. And I also had like a little wine in me. But it was something to the effect of like, I can't say that back to you right now. Mm-hmm. It's not to say that I don't have those same feelings, but like there is something like there's a block for me right now, you know? And like, I think also because if you guys remember when we first started dating, I wanted to be exclusive like right away and it took him a little bit of time. So it's just like, I think I just have to be patient and like let him do on his own time. You know what I mean?
I think that's a good topic though, because what is a good response for someone who says, I love you and you're not right? Because when 95P said it to me, I said it back, but then I took it back because I was like, wait, did I just say that out of like feeling the need to reciprocate for the sake of awkwardness, or did I really feel that way? I said it like a week or two later, but still I questioned myself because it was a big deal and that made it even more awkward that I should have just been like, whatever, go with it. But you know, my brain can't do that. But I wonder what is the appropriate response that makes someone feel, your situation's unique because he's coming at it in from a different place of like caution and wanting it to be totally.
Right. And here's the thing, like obviously if you asked me, I would, in an ideal world, you would say it right back.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like
well,
obviously,
for
anybody. But it's like, I think there's also this part of me that like, I've been so intentional with our relationship and he has also been so intentional with our relationship. So it's like, I know when he says it, like he really, it means it. And like, it carries a lot of weight. Do you know what I mean? Like I'll be the first person he said it to in a extremely long time.
Yeah.
You know, so I know it carries a lot more weight, and I'll know, like, I think it'll just tell me a lot more about our future, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
I think.
Peanut gallery?
I feel like because he said, like, I'm. Wait.
You can't say peanut gallery anymore.
Yeah, I just remember. I just realized that.
Why?
Yeah. It's a racist term.
It's a phrase with racist origins. The peanut gallery is where they sat the black people in the back of the theater. Mm-hmm. The late 1800s.
Yeah, I caught myself.
Learning so much.
Yeah.
So not, I don't want to even say it again, but men.
Easton, Mark.
Easton, Mark.
Those
so
men.
Basically what happened is he pulled a Harrison Ford on you. Happy birthday, by the way, to Harrison Ford. No. He said, you said to him, I love you. And he said, I know.
Essentially, which is so funny because the whole time you were telling the radio station, radio show, you were saying on the podcast, everyone who knows who you are knew that you were in love with your boyfriend, except for him.
He knew.
Of course
he knew too.
But we were pretending as if he was under a rock.
Right.
With headphones on.
Right. It's just so funny because I remember I wrote in my Dear Future Husband journal the night that I felt it, like when I knew I was like in love with him.
Could
I wrote
you read
it
that for us?
No, I need to read it to him first at some point.
Okay.
But I did say, I was like, I want to read it to you at some point, not now, because I feel very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because it's like I wrote in it when I realized it. And so I should probably count out how many days until I actually said it to him from like when I felt it.
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Wait,
I would love to get my hands on that Dear Future Husband journal.
Hold on. There is a chance that that is not being written to him.
That's true.
So I think it's weird for you to tell him. Isn't that weird for you to tell him that I wrote this in this and I'm going to read it to you someday? It may not be to him.
No. I'll read it to him someday, like soon.
No, but he's saying if he's not your husband. What if he's not your husband? You don't want to read your Dear Future Husband writings to him unless he's your husband.
I think that journal stays closed and locked until somebody puts a ring on that finger.
I do too.
And honestly, until the ceremony, I think you read it to them on your honeymoon and not a minute before.
Interesting. That's good. That's good. I didn't think about that. That's good though.
Like imagine you read it to him and it's just like, not
but it's like I fully like described in detail. I was like, oh my gosh, like I feel this and I haven't felt this in 7 years, like what WTF, and like
WTF.
Yeah, I
write
that like a 13 is amazing
year old. That's what I'm saying. I'd love to read that respectfully,
but also I fear, and I've told you this before, I fear you're putting too much pressure on this relationship. Certain things you say in private make me feel like you gotta take this I know you are all in and that's how you are and that's how you live.
Right.
But assuming that he is the recipient of the Dear Future Husband journal, I think puts a lot of pressure on this relationship that's gotta go day by day.
So I agree. I totally agree with you. I guess I don't think of it as like my Dear Future Husband journal. I should have just been like, I wrote it down. Like I shouldn't have written it. I don't know, but I told you guys it's like kind of awkward that I have this relationship and I'm writing in this journal now. You know what I mean? Like I put a pin in it for a minute because I was like, it feels weird.
I feel like you could have a separate journal that's specifically for your relationship with Red Star, you know, and not have it be, and depending on how that relationship goes, transfer it to the Dear Future Husband journal.
Oh, wow. This feels like a lot of work.
Well, you know, I feel like you've done workbooks. I feel like you're down for the challenge.
It is interesting, but Mark does, you make a good point because I do. I think I tend to do that a lot. Just, what?
Yeah, I mean, you, that's part of who you are.
Yeah.
And what's so like endearing about you is that I really envy that about you, that you just throw caution to the wind and you're all in. But you don't want to put that pressure on yourself or on the relationship. But that's hard to, I mean, it's easier said than done, Mark, you know.
I know it is, but I also just worry that if, God forbid, this thing falls apart, the way she speaks of him will make it that much more devastating to her, when maybe this is just another relationship on her way to the actual one, the one, the man of her dreams. Maybe he's just a stepping stone, or maybe he is the man of her dreams. I just don't think we know yet, and I'm just trying to manage the potential outcomes.
I totally agree, but also it would be devastating regardless because her heart's already in it. So right. It's not like whether the pressure's there or not, like it would be devastating because she's in love with him.
Right. And so this is what I kind of like crumbed it up to or crammed up.
No idea what you're trying to say.
Chalked it up to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Chalked it up to.
Crumbed it up to.
What I chalked it up to is, and I think he is better at this than I am, the like taking it day by day. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's good for me. I want to take it day by day, but I also don't want to not give it everything I have. And then one day always be like, what if I, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just not me. So I kind of go back and forth with that a lot in my head.
I think a lot of it is though that you have only control of your feelings, your actions, what you do with the relationship.
Let me, if anybody knows that, it's after reading Codependent No More. Okay.
Here, another plug. Are we sponsored by them yet?
Not yet. Working on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more like Red Star in the sense that I'm not like looking so far into the future. I'm always like day by day, like, you know, this is where I'm at. I try to be like present, but 95P is like, bitch, like has everything planned out, and I have to be like, whoa, day by day.
But I think it's good that like one's one way and one's the other. You know what I mean? It's like a good balance.
We're just like we come to meet in the middle once we talk about it. But the way our brains work, it's very different. So it's like, you know. It's kind of like we're kind of similar in y'all's relationship. Like we're the opposite.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
So what kind of stuff scares you, Becca? So like plans, like future plans?
I hate plans. Plans scare me. All kinds of plans.
Like if 95P said something right now about where to spend Christmas, would that scare you? Because it's so far in the future. It's 5-6 months away.
Well, Christmas, I'm pretty like certain that I would like to spend Christmas with my family as long as I'm single in the sense of not married and have my own family. So that one doesn't really scare me because I've kind of made that clear.
What if it was like, hey, Becca, next summer, this is all going to be over. I want to book a trip to Hawaii now because the deals are better. August the 21, we're going to Hawaii. Would that scare you?
Yeah, I hate that. Why? What's the point?
People are making plans for 2021 right now because you can't make plans for 2020.
That's great. I'd be like, cool, book the flights, but there's a chance that that might not work for me. So, but yeah, I just don't like that. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I've always been that way. Maybe that's something I can talk to my therapist about, which is really, that's just been so great for me. But yeah, I just am someone who has always, like, I don't like to make plans with friends. Someone asked me to do something on, like, a Tuesday, and they texted on Tuesday wanting to do something on a Sunday, and I was like, oh, the nerve. Like,
oh, my gosh.
What? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing on Sunday. Are you kidding? Like, I don't have my days planned out to that extent where I feel confident that that's what I'm going to want to do on Sunday.
That's a weird one for me.
It's easier for me to just be like, I'm not sure what my plans are. How about I text you on Friday? And if things are still there, then I would love to come. But if you've already got it figured out, then we'll do another time.
But why can't you just commit and say, yeah, great, Sunday. Right. Now I have plans on Sunday. Write it in your calendar.
That's called bigger, better syndrome.
It's not bigger, better, because my bigger, better is me like sitting on the couch, not socializing. It's not about doing something bigger or better, unless it's like someone with a private pool, then I would be like, listen, I gotta move on. It's more about, am I gonna be in the mood to be social? Because TBH, I have had days where I don't want to see or talk to anyone through text because I'm dark in the head and I'm like, I don't want to bring that upon anyone else or fake like everything's just like hunky dory, you know?
Yeah.
I have some issues I'm working through, you guys. So, but the planning thing, I really stand by, because
if I went a whole day without talking or texting anybody, I would be, it would not be good.
Well, the exciting news is that my youngest sister, Hink, is back in town. From, she was with my parents in Florida for 3 months, and she stayed with me her first week, but then she wanted to see her friends, so I told her she needed to go find another place to stay because it felt COVID-y. And so she's going to, after she's going to get tested, and then she's going to come back, and then I'm going to have, like, my bud there, you know?
Yeah.
And she's different because she's family. You know, I don't feel intruded on.
Right.
But I told her if she starts stealing my clothes, she's a goner again, so... Not stealing, but wearing them without asking. But, yeah. That's sorry. I didn't really. Does anyone else feel this way, or am I alone here?
Only if it's somebody that I'm not crazy about. If somebody I'm not crazy about said, hey, Sunday, and it's Tuesday, I'd be like, yeah, let's see what happens. But if it's somebody I enjoy spending time with, yeah, great, Sunday, good. In fact, we'll make friends, because families were so busy as families, we'll make friends for a Sunday with another family in a month. Ah, Sunday the 12th? Great. Let's do it.
I am absolutely speechless. The things that could happen in that amount of time?
Well, and often they do. One of their kids will get sick, or one of ours, and we'll have to cancel. But you still, you pencil it in.
I feel like I've had this conversation on the podcast before, and everyone in the group called me selfish and stuff, so I'm all... hesitant now to open myself up and be honest.
I'm with you, Becca. I'm with you on a certain extent. This might be a Scorpio thing, but if Allison says, like, hey, let's go on vacation next spring, I'm always like, let's pump the brakes. We don't know what's going to be happening, you know, like, and if I still maintained that point of view, I would not be married. I would not own a home. Like, there's all these things that I kept thinking, like, these big things that you make plans for, and then these small things. And I'm always like, kind of like, oh, well, let's see what everything's looking like when we get closer to that actually happening. And you can't live like that.
If Allison was, I can't tell if you're, I don't know what side you're on right now.
I'm on your side, but I don't think it's a good side, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Okay. But what if Allison was like, hey, Easton, next Saturday, let's go to the park and blah, blah, blah. And then next Friday comes and you look at the weather and it's like going to be really uncomfortably hot or whatever. And you're just like, that doesn't really sound that great anymore.
I mean, I guess I would just tell her that it doesn't sound that great. But in terms
of, do something else, like, then you make other plans.
Yeah, but I can't change. If someone asks me to do something, I can't change. Like, I can't be like, take control over the situation.
Sure you can. You could say, we're going to go to the beach. It's 62 and raining. Why don't you guys just come on over here?
Yeah.
Well, COVID.
Well, right. I'm just, what do you in mean? General.
Well, in general, I'd be like, yeah, come over. Well, can't wait to binge Netflix. No, my newest thing has been conspiracy theories. And also, I've been playing a lot of Bananagrams, which makes me feel 80 years old. But what, you like it?
We've been playing a little Bananagram, too.
Oh my god!
I don't love it because he beats me all the time.
Yeah,
like the board
with
game, it's
like that little. It's like a, what is it like? It's like a crossword puzzle almost.
Well, it's like your own little Scrabble board.
Well, yeah, but like you're playing with like the actual like game, right? Not like an app or something.
Yeah, right, yeah, cool. Yeah.
Good.
Cards were a little more even. So like when we play cards, it's anyone's game. Where like Bananagram, every time we play, he wins. And I'm just
technically
like,
cards is a luck situation.
Some may say.
Bananagrams is like a skill set of spelling.
Some people call cards luck. I happen to think it requires skill.
It depends on the game.
Remy.
I don't think I know enough about Remy, but I don't know. There might be skill involved.
Thank you.
That's all she needed.
You're all welcome. I
needed. I'm feeling dark that Easton took my side, but in a negative way.
I'm just saying I react the same way, but I don't think it's great. That's all I'm trying to say.
So what you're saying is it's something you've worked on to change.
Yes.
got too much of that going on for me to add another thing to my plate.
I know. Don't you just feel like a caterpillar?
Yes.
Me too. Lately, I've just been feeling like, and I don't know if it's all the self-help books that I've been reading, but like I feel as though I'm this caterpillar right now, mm-hmm. and I am going to be a butterfly soon.
Did I tell you about how my therapist was saying the lucky thing, that you're lucky and about like when you like found God or like had a relationship with God? Did I talk about that on the podcast?
No, you just told me personally.
So I was last week. Should we take a break and then come back?
We should. And also I'd like to tease that I have more questions about Red Star now that we're kind of cracking open his shell a little bit.
We love a Red Star shell first. Crack open. Oh yeah.
You see what I did there?
Yeah. All right. We'll be back.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes. 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
Two sisters and one friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. Becca, let's talk about one of our goals for 2024, shopping sustainably.
Yes, and you know what's been amazing? Being able to shop sustainably at Macy's.
Agreed. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference.
It's so refreshing. I've been loving exploring their selection from brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more.
Plus, here's something really special. Macy's is not just talking the talk, they're walking the walk. Did you know that they're bringing more parks to more people by supporting the Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards project?
It's incredible. They're transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces, making sure our communities are healthy and livable for generations to come.
And here's where we can all make a difference. You can join Macy's in this incredible effort by donating online or in-store and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
Every little bit counts, and together we can create a greener, more sustainable future.
So head over to macys.com/purpose to learn more and make your contribution today.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Okay, we're back. So I don't remember when this was, last week, I guess. I was saying how it's so interesting growing up in a certain not just like social environment. I grew up in the church. I grew up in a Christian school. I went to church like Sunday and Wednesday. I was like, you know, led Bible studies, everything. I grew up this way. And I never really knew anyone else's perspective except for the people that were, that had the same interests as me and like lived the same lifestyle as me. And so when I moved to California, this was like 10 years ago, I would meet people and have conversations and I'd be like, oh, that's interesting. Like I just got to see so many different perspectives on life and religion and politics and just like got to expand my knowledge and horizons. And I was always so close-minded. I was like a very judgy Christian, not the kind that was like, I fear that I probably turned people off of Christianity. I was like that type of person. Oh. Hopefully they found someone else who was, you know, better on later on in life. But my therapist was saying that the things that you learn during those developmental years, like those are what is in your brain and like in your neurons and how you think, and you put everything into that place of what you've always known, like what feels safe, what feels familiar. And when that's challenged or questioned by something else, it like really messes with your psyche. Cause you're like, wait, but this is what I was told my whole life, but this is also feels right to me too, but can there be both? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I was telling her about how Tanya.
I'm honored that I have been able to be a part of your therapy session.
Truly. So I was telling her that you got saved and like started going to church. Like you were raised Serbian Orthodox, but you, how long? 7 years ago?
Yeah, something like that. 8 years ago.
You went to church and you got saved. And you don't have all these like rules in your head of like being good or being a certain way. You follow, you like talk about God's love for people and how much he loves people. And that's the example you want to be as like a Christian.
Right.
And I was telling her about that. And I was like, it's so hard because I have so many conflicting thoughts on what I was raised with and learned about when I was going through my developmental years versus what I'm learning now that feels right. And like, doesn't, they don't always like align, or I have to like balance them. And so I was telling her about you and she was like, well, Tanya's a lucky duck. I was like, yeah. But
thanks for that.
It got me thinking because I was on social media the other day and I followed this girl who her daughter had an accident last summer. They don't really know what happened. They don't know if it was a seizure or something, but she fell off a golf cart and hit her head. And she's, I don't know what the technical term is and I don't want to speak on it without knowing enough, but she's, you know, they're having to take care of her. She's not having as much function as she was. I don't know what the term is. Anyways, she's a pastor's wife and she posted the other day, she posted like a rainbow cookie and said, hey, for everyone in the LGBTQ community, I just want you to know that you're valued and worthy of love. She didn't say anything else. It was that. And I noticed the amount of Christians who were like, quoting Bible scriptures and just like it came across so off-putting and so judgmental. And she's like, she did this Instagram live afterwards and she was like, I know all these Bible verses. You don't need to preach to me or tell me all these things. Like this, all I said was that they're worthy and valued. And I believe that's what Jesus would say about those people too. But it was just like, such a reminder that social media and the internet is just...
Well, I was saying this because I feel like, and you get these messages a lot too, where people will say like, how do you stand behind this when the Bible says this?
Yeah,
you
yeah. know?
And they really, really affect you. And like,
yeah.
I get these messages too. Like, how are you a Christian and, you know, post about Pride Month? And I literally respond and I'm like, I'm a Christian and I love everybody. Mm-hmm. I want to be the light of Jesus to mm-hmm. everybody, all people, no matter mm-hmm. who they love, what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's easy for me to kind of like flick them off. You know what I mean? Just like, bye. Like, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't affect me as much uh-huh. as I feel like it affects you because of the way that you were raised. So
yeah.
it's like, you have these conflicting feelings of like, ugh, where I'm just like, bye.
Well, I just find it to me because I've been that person who would right. do that. And I find it so, I just think of anyone who, isn't a Christian or doesn't like religion, in what way is that appealing?
Yeah. And I think like right now, especially like because we are all social distancing and like we can't see people, I feel like the only way we can communicate is through social media. And like,
yeah,
you would think that everybody would embrace that and want to like love on each other and, you know, like build community, where yeah. I feel like the opposite is happening and people are just wanting to like tear everybody down. It's like yeah. kind of wild.
And like I'll see these, someone will post something and then someone will in the comments will be like, well, I loved you until this and I need to unfollow. Like, you do not need to announce your unfollowing or whatever. Like, it's just,
it's weird, man.
It's so
weird.
I have to give people, I think a lot of times it's done with the intention of love. And like, I do think that not the unfollowers, but the ones who send me messages and are like, this is what the Bible says. I don't feel it's from a malicious place or like ill intention, but I do want to say it can be a little, as someone who grew up knowing all the things that they're already telling me, I'm like, okay, cool. You're like, I see it. I know it. It's, you know, it's a challenge with social media. Cause I agree. It should be a place where we're like really reaching out to each other and lifting each other up and wanting each other to be better and feel loved by strangers on the internet. But it's quite the opposite.
Yeah. It's funny because I feel like recently all of my DMs are people asking about UTIs or, or saying that they're trying to date during Corona and having like a really hard time. So I'm like, those are literally the two messages that I get the most right now.
Yeah.
Like, so funny.
Well, you are the UTI master.
I do feel like the vagina queen right now.
Yeah.
I will say this just from something of an outsider perspective, but that Bible is a big book and there's a lot of words in there. And if you want to, you could find something in there to justify whatever belief you have been raised or conditioned to already believe. You know, you can use it to reinforce whatever you've already been told. And so that's not really, to me, a great use of it. You know, you can find enlightenment in it. You can find encouragement in it. But if you're just using it to back up whatever you've been raised to believe, then, and using it for arguing purposes, I don't think that's the greatest use of it.
Yeah, it just doesn't come from it. It doesn't make anyone feel welcomed or loved. Like, it doesn't feel, you know, it's just, like I said, it can be off-putting. And I think because I was that person for so long, I'm more like hypersensitive and aware of it. So, but that's true. It's a large book.
It shouldn't be a weapon.
Yeah.
It was not intended to be a weapon, actually.
Thank you,
Tanya. It's a book of hope. Okay. It's a book of hope and love and compassion and empathy and light. And that's what we want to be.
It's true. I think that's what we're called to be.
Man, people are dark right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's got their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get to the Red Star questions.
Okay.
And if you can't answer, you just say, I can't answer that question.
Okay.
Because we all know you would like to.
Okay.
Does Red Star have children?
Yes.
Okay, I'll get back to that in a second. Can we talk about Red Star in this way, in terms of his divorce and children, on the Ryan Seacrest show?
Are these personal Mark questions?
Well, that one is. That one's for me. And then I'll get back to more general.
Mark's like, these are some questions from the Scrubbers, Sisters. La la la. Yeah, we can. I mean, I can say those two things.
That he's divorcing his kids. Okay.
Yeah, I just can't. I just really can't. I can't give specifics because I just need to respect him and.
Yeah.
I'm only one half of this relationship.
Fair. You know? So focusing on you, how do you feel about? Let's pretend Red Star is the future husband of the Dear Future Husband Journal. That makes you a stepmother. And how do you feel about that?
I've always wanted a lot of kids. So the fact that he already has some is like a plus.
Ideal.
Ideal, yeah. Because like, we definitely have had the question of, because I want to have my own children as well. So that conversation has been had. And we agree in that sense. So I feel comfortable and good in that space.
That
for
doesn't
sure.
put you off. That doesn't make you nervous. I don't know the ages of the kids. I'm guessing we're going to stay away from that. But
yeah,
Kids throughout their lives go through some difficult phases. It's interesting to think of you as the stepmom that might help them through one of those phases in life, whether it's puberty, whether it's potty training. Like, I have no idea the age of these kids, but there's a lot of stuff.
I know. And so it's interesting because I do think I referenced this in one of our podcasts where I was being cryptic. And I apologize. Now I can speak on that a little bit more. But I was saying how, like, it's a very unique situation. You know what I mean? Being a step parent is like, it's unique. And you know, the thing is that I also realized too, now that I'm in this position and I, like, for the morning show, I read, you know, a lot of entertainment stories and I try and, you know, do my trending reports. And I'm just finding, like, I realize how many people go through this or, like, our step parents are, like, you know, are on their having second marriages and navigating through this thing that nobody really talks about. So it's like, yes, I have two people in my life that are step parents and, like, have navigated this very successfully. So those are the people that I kind of really go to for advice because I feel like they obviously did it successfully. But it is a weird...
I mean, aside from, like, the weird food they might have to eat, Tanya being a stepmom would be ideal. Truly.
If there are teenage girls at some point, that would be amazing because you are a teenage girl.
Oh, my God,
girl.
Yeah, yeah. Because you are a teenage girl. That is so funny.
I know. I'm like,
WTF in her journal. So funny.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting, for sure.
That is very interesting. Have you met those children?
I have not.
Ah, that's good, I think. I think that's healthy.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I feel like, I'm telling you, I think, Red Star really has a good head on his shoulders. And I think that his judgment and discernment as to what when he wants to, like, do that, or if he wants to do that, or when, I think it's a really good space for him to be in, because I agree, it's like you don't want to introduce your children to multiple people,
of course. And so many parents do that, and it does seem to be rough on the kids when mom or dad has a different kind of partner every couple of months.
Totally. So it's like I really respect his judgment on that a lot, and I've said that multiple times.
How long once you meet them will you make them your almond cracker things? Because that could end everything.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Really could.
I don't know if I'll ever make those for
anyone else. Hopefully,
yeah. I don't know.
I'm
judging by Red Star's review on that.
Yeah, and he likes, like, healthy. He normally likes what you like.
Yeah.
So. I made homemade almond milk myself.
I'm very proud of that,
and it was amazing. However, when I was emptying the
pulp
out of the nut bag, I was so grossed out that that's what I had eaten. Like, I was so upset. The texture was awful.
But didn't you feel bad throwing it away?
No, I felt no feelings. Just went right down the disposal.
I'm like, such a waste of almond pulp to just throw it in the trash.
Yeah, but do you feel that way if you are, like, peeling the skin of an orange?
No.
Boom. Did y'all feel that mic drop?
That is an interesting, that's an interesting metaphor I didn't think of. Because I do peel my apples and I have no regrets about that.
Oh, yeah. And the apple's skin is normally what people eat.
Completely edible and full of vitamins.
I know. But for people such as myself with digestive issues, it's a lot easier to digest an apple with the sans peel.
That's been driving me crazy about Tanya for years, the effort she goes into preparing an apple, where most people just, apple, hum, nom, 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 gone. She brings into work a giant butcher knife.
And a peeler.
And plates. And she goes to the kitchen and the thing, and it's a whole process. And then she puts it in a Tupperware. I'm like, what is all this? It was meant to be eaten, plucked from a tree and eaten with your hand.
Okay, but I have to tell you, I have a permanent retainer in my teeth, and so I can't eat apples just like a normal human, like off the tree. Like, I can't dig into it. Otherwise, my permanent retainers will break.
I know, but you have could to get, cut you it. Could get one of those apple things where you just, like, push it down and it slices them all for you.
Oh, that's a great idea.
But the peel is the real, like, kicker, because I've watched you do it, and I'm just, like, entranced because it's literally, she's quick. Yeah.
Guess what, guys? Nothing is never normal with me. It's just
that,
not.
That, what you yeah. just said means everything is normal with you.
Yeah, you did two double negatives.
Nothing is ever normal. Nothing is ever normal when it comes to me.
Yeah, I'm right past Tanya's head. There's a giant bag of nuts. And it says nuts.com.
Because I make so much almond milk. I got sick of, like, I feel like I have to go to the store to buy almonds all the time. So that's just a gigantic bag. I wonder
all almonds?
All almonds.
Oh, my God. That is a lot of almond pulp.
It's probably a month of almond milk in there.
I love nuts.com. I've been seeing their commercials on TV a lot, and those characters are so damn cute. I love nuts.com.
Those are, I will say, they're really cute.
They're so cute.
My nut bag. Thank you for that appreciation.
Do you feel like a sense of relief speaking on Red Star a little bit, opening up a little bit more?
I do.
Yeah.
Because it's been hard. Like I said, I enjoy sharing and I like that, you know, and it's funny because even when I wasn't sharing, I had so many people sending me messages. Like, one scrubber sent me a note that, her now husband, but at the time her boyfriend, didn't say I love you back for 9 months. Mm.
Yeah.
For 9 months. And now they're married. And like, somebody else said, you know, like, I was just getting a lot of messages like that. So it's really funny because I didn't say anything. And yet people, I guess I did talk about it a little bit that I was like in love, but, the encouragement from people is just like so sweet, you know?
Yeah.
Like strangers, like, I don't even know you. And you feel so compelled to like share that with me. It's so nice.
I know. I get a lot of just random out of the blue of like, hey, just like, we appreciate you and Tanya. And it's always so nice because, you know, of course, people don't, sometimes they say things that aren't great to read. But I feel like as a majority, our scrub listeners are so encouraging and kind and sweet. So,
yeah. And it's like weird because I am so happy. And like, it's weird. It's like this weird dichotomy. Is that the right word? Okay. It's this weird dichotomy where like this relationship is really good. We've had to navigate through things that are really challenging and hard and have made me think about things that I've never thought about before. And also act in a very mature manner that I'm actually surprised at myself. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, wow, like I'm fucking mature. Like, do you know what I mean? Sorry, you're gonna have to bleep that. But like, you know, I'm like dealing with things and like, I'm looking inward and seeing like, you know, I'm speaking up about boundaries and things. And, like I'm not being shy about that. Whereas before I feel like I would suppress how I'm feeling because just to make him feel better, you know, and it's like, I'm not doing those things. So it's like this weird level of like
cocoon.
Yeah.
Turning into a butterfly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is interesting. I've never known you in a committed like relationship like this, so it's been interesting to see what you like, that you stand up for yourself in certain things, and it's a very mature and communicative relationship.
Yeah, because he like understands, you know what I mean? If I speak up about something, he doesn't shut it down,
invalidate
my feelings. Like, he actually is like, I didn't think of that, or I didn't think of it that way, or you know what I mean? Like, it's really actually nice. I'm like, this what like a mature relationship?
Yeah, I wish everyone could have those conversations. Everyone right now. Yeah. That it could just be like open-minded to hearing how other people feel or what they think without being defensive or attacking, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be a really peaceful world.
I agree.
Like, it really, especially in a relationship, it's such an important, I always would say like communication is key, but I'm the worst communicator ever. So it was all just words and what I was, you know, thought I needed to say. But I'm really learning, especially in my relationship too, of I just want to have space and be like, I need to think about this before we talk about it, because I don't want to say something that I regret. But 95P is very much like, we're not stopping this conversation until we figure things out, or at least come to an understanding.
Common ground. See, gotta have both.
Gotta have both. All right. I have emails if anyone would like to help some folks who need some help. Nefeli has a question for Tanya. She says, I'm a single gal living in San Francisco. Sometimes I feel like I'm too much of a modern woman and too independent when it comes to dating, or sometimes I feel like being in a relationship is a distraction or a weakness. But I do want to be in a relationship again, and when I'm thinking about it, really, I know it isn't a weakness. I feel like I could relate to Tanya last week when she said her pattern with dating was that she did it on her time because she has a job and she needs to go to sleep at a certain time and needs to be seen as an equal. I feel like I do something similar, so I'd like to hear more from Tanya and see what slash how she changed, and then would love to hear Becca, Easton, and Mark's thoughts too.
It's interesting that she says it like that, because I do think because so long ago I came out of a relationship where I felt like I catered to my partner's needs more than my own. So like everything was on his terms. Like everything was, and it wasn't his fault because I allowed that to happen. Do you know what I mean? Like it was like I didn't really have a sense of self. Mm-hmm. And when that relationship ended, it's almost like I did a complete 360 and, you know, threw myself into like my work and my career, and almost felt like it was a weakness to like actually have feelings for somebody. And so I went through that phase where I was just like having fun, sleeping around, and like thought I could do it all, you know what I mean? And like quickly realized that that was not, I was incapable of doing that. You know, it was hurting me more than it was anything else. But it's like, I can totally relate to that, because I do think that there was a point where I felt like having feelings for somebody was a weakness, because it took away from me doing the things that I wanted to do for myself, whether it was working out, whether it was being with my friends, whether it was my job, my career, my time. So it's like, I can really relate to that, but I do think that you can find a balance. And I think it also ultimately is in the person and the partner that you choose to do that with, you know, because I think I always came out of the gate really strong. And that's the pattern I was talking about, where I would just like lay it on thick. Like, you need to date me on my time. I'm not going to go out with you past 8 p.m. Like, blah, blah, blah. But I think when you find a person that can like do that with you, but also that's what they want to do, mm-hmm. if that makes sense, mm-hmm. it all just kind of starts clicking.
I'm curious of Easton and Mark's thoughts on this as like a male in the dating world with someone who is very independent and strong, and almost feels like, my thing with dating was always that I felt like it was not a weakness, but almost like it was too vulnerable. Like for me to allow my heart to maybe get broken felt like I'm giving too much to someone. So I'm better off being like cool, like the cool single girl and doing my own thing.
Before you guys answer this, it's actually one of the, not fights, but it was one of the things that Red Star and I had like a little bit of a thing about, because like I would fall down the stairs and my first reaction would be like to call Becca or to go to Sissany's. Like it wasn't, my first reaction wasn't to come to him. And I was like, I think it's my like fear of feeling like I need you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know that, like, I have other people in my life that mm-hmm. can help me in these times of, you know, he's like, and when you're in distress, he's like, you never come to me first, you go. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that. But that's like another defense mechanism that I do.
Yeah.
Easton, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about it like in the, maybe I have this wrong, but like in the terms of feeling like you either are in a relationship or you're like focusing on like your career and your goals and
right,
yeah, is it like, cause like, I mean, this is different cause I, you know, I'm just speaking of it from my own perspective as a man. So it's, you know, it's different, but I always felt that like, if I was in a relationship, I wouldn't be able to give everything to like my job and vice versa. So it was kind of like, it was like kind of one or the other. So when I moved to Los Angeles, like I wasn't dating anyone, and I stayed single for like, I didn't try to date anyone for a very long time. And I was just trying really hard to build my career, and I was, you know, trying to do all this extra stuff. And I will say, then like I started dating Allison, it just kind of happened. And, I have achieved more than I ever thought I could, since I started dating her, because she like pushed me to do things I felt uncomfortable doing and, you know, motivated me to do stuff like that. So I think that, you know, to answer her question, Like, I really think you should just focus on what you want, and the right person will, you know, present themselves. But I don't think you should, like, you know, back off on yourself to make yourself more, you know, appealing to someone else, if you want to use that word. You know, that's my thought.
Most guys don't have these thoughts.
Yeah.
Most guys don't think, oh, I want a relationship, but oh, my job, what do I do? Guys don't think like that. So Nefeli, who wrote us this email, you're thinking like a dude, and that's great. You got to be the best version of you. Guys don't get lost in that stuff. Guys are going to go out and get their job, and on the weekends, they're going to go out and meet girls, and if she wants to be in my life, she can find a way to fit into it, because that's just how guys are. They are very career-focused, and women, a lot of them expect women to kind of follow along and assist them however they can, which is not the way to look at this. So I think you're looking at this exactly right, Nefeli. I think you got to be the best version of you, because that makes you that much more attractive to other people. And if you're doing you and you are happy and you are killing it in whatever your chosen profession is, then fantastic. And if it works out with some other guy, that's great. And it's going to, because you are the best Nefeli you can possibly be.
You know what they say.
What do they say, Tanya?
What?
When you're looking at the north, it's going to sneak up from the south.
That's
your face?
She snuck up on herself. Like, sincerely.
Yeah. You're supposed to say, like, you're supposed to, you look at the north, and then you hit your head from the back. Like, it's like, oh, what? Oh. Whoa.
We almost lost. There was almost a chipped tooth and busted lip, but I think she got her point across.
I think it's worth the point.
Okay.
All right. This one's from Anonymous. I've been dating my boyfriend for almost a year and a half. Every box I had on my mental list is checked. There's just one thing. I'm not sure if I just love him or if I'm in love with him. I'm very content in the relationship, but I've never felt fireworks. Do you need that can't stop thinking about them feeling to know you're in love? Does being content mean the relationship is boring or that you're in a normal, healthy relationship? I can normally trust my gut, but with this, my gut's all over the place. I don't like the thought of breaking up because I feel like I got a good one. For background, we're 23, and this is my first serious long-term relationship. Dated other guys before him, but nothing too serious. We're young, so not looking to get wifed up yet, obviously, but just looking for an outsider's view. I like that. The difference between I love him, am I in love with him?
I kind of had that with Robert, but I also, kind of like before we started dating and when we first started dating, there was like that excitement and the fireworks, but it wasn't like my current relationship. And I always thought that was just like I thought my personality was always going to be in a relationship that was just like, I'm content. I'm happy. Like, he's wonderful.
Right,
so
fireworks are for the movies.
Yeah. I always thought like comparing my relationship to what the movies said I was supposed to feel was like not realistic. But having experienced it now, I realized that it's not like the whole relationship is always that way. Like, it's not like this like explosion of fireworks forever for the rest of your relationship. But there is something that's so special about having those feelings and like them, they continue. It's just in a different way. Because you grow as people and, like, you grow together. But I don't know. I hate giving advice on this stuff because it's such a personal experience. And some people, I've seen these conversations in the group where some people are like, it's so important to have someone who's consistent and has that, like, you feel that contentment. Because contentment, especially right now, is a hard feeling to find. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just have to know there is more. So it's more like, could that be a great relationship forever? Sure. But also, you're 23. Like, there's so many people you haven't met and experiences you haven't had yet. So I don't know. I hate these questions because it's like, if he's a good, I don't know.
But it sounds like you're leaning towards he's not the one.
Well, I just think like why here's the thing. You're 23. There's so many people that you have the opportunity to meet, and it's going to be scary. And it might be that you date other people and you're like, no, he was the one that I want, and y'all end up together. But it's hard to just say like, stay in it with just kind of being totally level all the time.
Yeah.
Cause I've been there.
I don't know. Cause it's like, for me, Tanya at 23,
Oh, who was she?
Oh my Lord. She was a mess. A hot mess. And a hot mess express that was just like choo-choo train going. And I'm still that hot mess, but like I feel like I feel very wise now.
Wow.
But it's interesting because I feel like I had my first love when I was around that age, you know, like 23, 25. And it was such a different love than I feel now. You know what I mean? So it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Equally just as beautiful, uh-huh. but different feelings. So it's like, I can't really give her advice on to like what she should be feeling because who knows, maybe she's 23 and she's an old soul.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like hard to, cause I feel like at 23, I thought I was ready for marriage and to settle down and like have kids at 25, you know, like it's just, you grow so much as a person, especially in your 20s and but it's not to say that he might not be your person and that you grow with.
Right. It's like for me at 23, like, I just wanted to like jump your bones and like,
I get the vibe that she's a little different than who you were at 23. I feel like she's more like how I was at 23, honestly, just from this email, which I could be wrong, but it seems like you have your checklist of everything you want.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, this is what I wrote down, so shouldn't this be it? But I remember people always telling me when I'd be like, well, this is the type of person I want to be with. They'd be like, well, it all comes down to this like magical thing that is not something you can write down on paper.
I think there's an exercise you can kind of do here that'll help you. First of all, the fact that you sent us this email is a sign to me that this is not your dude. But I tried this when I was dating people. Imagine yourself at 30 years old. And I want you to really think about it. Think about your job. Think about where you want to be living. Do you have kids yet? All that stuff. And then picture this guy with you at 30 years old. And how does that make you feel? Is that exciting? Like, oh, yeah, he'd be a great dad. Oh, my gosh, I'd love to come home to him every day from this wonderful job I have. Or does it make you think, ugh, you know? Because if you have that kind of ugh feeling when you think of being with him when you're 30, then you gotta go. I think we all dated people that were good people but weren't the one. And that's kind of the impression I'm getting in this situation. One of my worst breakups was when I initiated, because she was awesome. There was no reason that it wasn't going to work out, except that I knew she was not the one for me. She was great. There was nothing to complain about. There was nothing wrong with her, but I knew it just wasn't there, and so I had to end it. I'm not saying end it. You got to go with your gut, but I would try that kind of picturing your future with him and see how it makes you feel, because that will tell you a lot.
That's so funny you said that, Mark, because I remember when I knew that things weren't right with Robert when we were together and when I ended things. And I remember, I told everyone, I was like, I almost wish that he had done something to hurt me, because breaking up with him for the only just being that it wasn't right was horrible.
Yeah.
Like it would have been so much easier to be like, well, he cheated on me or he was horrible to me, but he was so wonderful to me. He was like one of my best friends at that, you know, before we even started dating, is one of my good friends. And so it was horrible to have to make that decision just based on like, it isn't right.
It's funny. I'm usually the one that is on the receiving end of the dumping. I don't do much dumping of my own. I think I've literally had to end it with two men in my, how many that I've dated in however many years. But one of the ones that I had to like bid adieu to, same thing. Nothing was wrong with him. Perfectly cute. Met him at Sisney's wedding. We had mutual friends. Yeah. Like everything was fine. It was all good. But I was just like, there's something just not there. Like, can't put my finger on it. But I was like, I can't just keep dating you knowing that there's no intention behind it.
And similarly, when I was with Amy, we had been together about 3 years. And I wasn't ready to propose. I'm a guy in my 20s. I'm not ready to be married. That's crazy. That's for grown-ups. But I did that exercise. I imagined 5 years in the future and we're not together. And that was ludicrous to me. Like, I even laughed out loud thinking about it. Like, 5 years from now, I don't talk to her every day. She's not just not part of my life. She's like living her own life somewhere else and dating other people, whatever. That was hilarious to me. And that's when I knew I'm going to marry her. And so that's when I went to my calendar and figured out, okay, I'll propose here, and then I'll... That'll work out, because then we can get married on a Saturday, because it'll be our fifth anniversary. That'll work. And I planned the whole thing out.
Cute.
Wow. Just one little thought process.
Yeah, because I realized, like, I'm just being a stubborn 20-something dude who's afraid of commitment, because we all are. And then I realized, well, that's stupid, because not being with her would be crazy and horrible. So, yeah, it's time to start thinking about this and making a plan.
Easton, as a male who's a Scorpio and did not like to plan things, did you ever have that with Allison, or were you like certain from the moment y'all started dating?
Well, I mean, she's always been one of my favorite, if not my absolute favorite person to be around since the moment I met her. But, we had a great early romantic relationship, and then we've been dating for like a few years. I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but we dated for like a few years and things were going really, really well. And, of course, kind of like what I talked about earlier, you know, I was like, I would like to get married to her someday. I don't know when that day is going to be. I would like to be making this amount of money, and I'd like to be, you know, at this point, I just don't know when that's going to happen. And, she brought up to me, she's like, do you want to get married to me? And I said, yes, I would. Are you asking me? Where's the ring? And, and she was like, well, I mean, we should probably do that, or else I'm going to be looking for somebody else. And she's honest with me. She's like, you know, I'm not 18 anymore. I'm almost 30. And that's something I would like to do. I would like to get married and, you know, maybe start a family or, move on that part of your life. I would like to do that with you, but if not, then I need to know where you're at. And I was like, I've never like gone and gotten a ring so fast. and it was great. And, again, like the idea, like, you know, freaked me out just because I kept thinking like, oh, I need to be at this certain point. I'm not going to be ready yet. But you're never like, you know, you're never ready for it. And I turned out to be quite ready. It was fine. It's been the best thing ever. Like, that was the best decision.
You just
got to
jump
made.
In the water.
Yeah. And my life has gotten exponentially better since that moment. Like it's only gotten better. So.
You cannot wait till the right moment.
No.
You really can't. It never will happen.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, that's kind of the same thing. It's like, Mark, you had that thought of like, could I see myself without her? And then Easton was, she was kind of like, well, I'm going to find someone else if it's not going to be you. And it was kind of that same thing of like, that's ridiculous.
That's true. It is. Yeah.
You know, there's a Lil Dicky song with,
oh my goodness.
No, with, the guy from Panic at the Disco, Brendan Urie is in it. And, he says something like, you could find another me tomorrow, but you're the only one I want to follow. It's something like that. But I remember thinking that, like, I'm like, oh God, she could find another Easton like in 2 seconds. I will never meet someone else like her though. Like this is my chance.
I don't think either of y'all would have been able to find another one.
It's true.
Of you.
Well, I mean, I like to think so, but you know, you gotta always have that
wise
fear in the back of your head.
Wise words from Lil Dicky.
Yep.
Yeah, we
wise
love
words
Dickie
from Lil
dropping
Dickie,
the
yeah.
wisdom.
Who knew?
Real quick, before we go, Sarah in Milwaukee is concerned because her friends are all going out and partying, and she's nervous about that, and she wants advice for these situations where you're on a completely different page from your friends in terms of the pandemic. What do you do?
Luckily, all my friends are kind of on the same page, and anyone who's been out, like I said, like my sister wanted to go see her friend, so I'm like, okay, well, you got to quarantine before you come back to my place. You need to quarantine without seeing anyone. And so I've been a little more on the cautious side for sure. But I feel like most of my close friends that if we've seen each other, they've all been on the same page and been like very respectful of the situation. But I know that I would really struggle with that because
I have some friends that are very like not seeing human beings. Like,
yeah.
Just not like I've only had to see them from like distant with masks. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And I think you just have to respect everybody's level of comfortability. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think she's saying if her friends are going out and like partying and doing things without being like careful, but they want to hang out with her.
Then she can't hang out with them, or she can hang out with them from a distance with the mask.
Yeah.
If you're uncomfortable, if people are doing things that make you uncomfortable And I think, like, for me, I have some friends that are uncomfortable that I go to the grocery store, you know, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I go to the grocery store, I wear a mask and I wash my hands. I am being very diligent, but yes, I am going to the grocery store mm-hmm. and they're uncomfortable by that. So it's fine. So I'll meet them and we'll sit at a park and we'll, you know, hang distantly.
Right.
And it's fine. You know what I mean? I think you just have to respect each other both ways. Mm-hmm.
But also don't be pressured into doing something you're not comfortable with. And I think the way I would handle that is when I try to make a decision, I try to envision both. This is the same stuff I was talking about before. Envision both scenarios. Would you ever regret not going out to this party or this festival or whatever it is? I don't think you would.
Probably not.
Would you ever regret going? Yeah, there's a real good chance you would regret that. So that's where I am on this. All right. Also, before we go, happy birthday to a couple other people who share my birthday in the Facebook group. Megan Lucia, happy birthday. I didn't want to just single out Gianna. And happy birthday, Caroline Petrie. All have birthdays on this glorious July the 13th. And also, tell them about the new merch, you guys.
Oh, my gosh. Let us tell you. Okay. So we really wanted to incorporate Scrubbing In into our merch. So we went literal and we created a Scrubbing In dish scrubber, which these make me so excited. Like every time I get a new one, I feel renewed, refreshed. They're so cute. You have to go to the website to check it out. But they are a little dish scrubber that you put your dish soap in and it says Scrubbing In on it.
Because we all know that we are scrubbers here, not spongers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also added, tell them what we added too.
We also have a really cute circle beach towel. It's teal and it has Scrubbing In written on the corner, which is really cute because like circular towels are like all the rage right now.
They're so cute.
And then a Turkish towel that has Scrubbing In embroidered on it, which is really cute. I actually use my Turkish towels very often. I've been taking mine to my picnics during quarantine. So very excited that we have our own Turkish towels now.
I know, it feels very official. And a portion of the proceeds will go to No Kid Hungry. So head over to myfanthreads.com/scrubbingin today. And they restocked the hats, which I was getting so many messages about. So now you can get your Scrubbing In hat, your scrubber, your dish scrubber, your towels. It's all there for you. So go check that out before they sell out again.
Well, it's been a lengthy one today, guys. Sans guests.
But yeah.
Guess what? Somehow we talked for almost 2 hours.
It's normally how it goes. Sometimes there's just a lot to say.
It's a lot to say. Happy birthday, Mark. We love you. And we will see you guys next Monday. And we want to do a man panel. So if you guys could go into our Facebook group and leave us questions directed to men, we would like to ask Mark and Easton their responses.
Yeah, one of us will start like a post so that y'all can it can be a master post so everyone can respond under there.
Great. And that's it for today. Enjoy your week, everybody. Spread love, hope, and positivity.
Oh, all right. We love you guys. See you next time.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the
21
script.
Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by 2 sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps get them through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.